Today on Secchio, the Biden social media collusion is shut down in a major victory.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secchio. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secchio.
Hey, welcome to Secchio. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. A great victory for the freedom of speech came out late Friday evening. You may have seen some news about it, but we definitely want to explain it to you because the ACLJ was both involved in an amicus brief representing you, our American Center for Law and Justice members, but also has filed a FOIA against the Department of Justice to get the communications about going to these social media companies and telling them what content to remove. And what we see in this order out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, it's just very telling. Under this modified injunction, the enjoined defendants, that's the Biden administration, cannot coerce or significantly encourage a platform's content moderation decision. Such conduct includes threats of adverse consequences. We talk about Section 230 all the time and their immunity. Even if those threats are not verbalized and never materialize, so long as a reasonable person would construe a government's message as alluding to some form of punishment. So again, they cannot coerce or encourage a content provider's platform moderation decision. The parties in this were very interesting. It was not just President Biden. It was also the U.S. Surgeon General, HHS Secretary Becerra, and of course, Anthony Fauci. So they are now prohibited, as this Fifth Circuit Court decision stands, from going to social media companies and telling them what to promote and what to censor. The second one is you're going to be in real trouble if you threaten those social media companies into feeling like they have to censor this conduct. So this is a huge victory. The question now, I want to take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. So we filed the case. We represent you as the ACLJ. We've also got a FOIA. We're about to sue the DOJ because they did not respond, surprise, surprise, to get the information about who was putting this together. You know, the emails, the back and forth, the meetings on when to go to the social media companies and tell them, take that content down. It happened from everybody from just a regular Twitter user to the second largest newspaper in the country, the New York Post, which actually had their account shut down. I mean, Logan, this is huge. It might go to the Supreme Court, but I think we'd win there because the government does not have a role in picking and choosing the winners of ideas.
Yeah, and in the next segment, we'll really break this down so you really understand why we're saying this is such a big deal. I know you hear from the news a lot of why something is a big deal. You hear the news, but yeah. This is a big...
It's an actual win.
This is a big win that has come out just over the weekend. As always, dropping Friday afternoon when we're off the air. Most people are off the air. This stuff slides out, but we are going to discuss that coming up in the next segment. If you have a question or comment related to that or some of the other topics, we've got life topic coming up a little bit later as well. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Also, obviously, we are not going to forget the fact that this is September 11th, and we obviously honor, and remember, we see a lot of people in the comments saying, hey, it's not 11. Of course, we already wanted to wrap up this segment with a bit of a montage, so take a listen.
Tonight, we are a country awakened to danger and called to defend freedom. Our grief has turned to anger, and anger to resolution. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done. Great harm has been done to us. We have suffered great loss, and in our grief and anger, we have found our mission and our moment. Freedom and fear are at war. The advance of human freedom, the great achievement of our time and the great hope of every time, now depends on us. We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
Of course, those are powerful moments uniting the country. I mean, you kind of haven't felt a uniting moment since then. Of course, you never want an event like that. If that's what it takes to unite Americans, it's also kind of sad. But on this day, you just want to remember that there are a lot of families grieving, loved ones who were lost that didn't get to see their kids grow up. Remember them in your prayers today. We'll be right back on Secchio. DeSecula, we are taking your calls because I hope it encourages you. Out of this case out of Missouri, this win at the Fifth Circuit, look, I think it may go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. By the way, I feel pretty confident about where the Supreme Court would come down on this. This doesn't mean private companies can't decide what content they want to promote and not promote. And I think that's a conservative position in the sense that a private company has a lot of say over what they can or do or don't want to do. But we know that the censorship that came, for instance, from anything around COVID or Hunter Biden's laptop, that was censorship coming directly from the FBI and law enforcement agencies and HHS. And it was coming with at least a threat, like, for instance, your Section 230 immunity. Maybe we should pull that, which means you could sue social media companies anytime something was posted on there that was, let's say it was pornographic or illegal content, and they didn't take it down quick enough, or it stayed up for a long time because no one even saw it, that they could get sued for that. Right now, they have a protection because we want the internet to continue to grow that gives them immunity. And what this court has said is very direct to the Biden administration. The enjoined defendants, that is Joe Biden, that is Anthony Fauci, that is the HHS, that is, this U.S. Surgeon General, of course, the White House. The defendants cannot coerce or significantly encourage a platform's content moderation decisions. Such conduct includes threats of adverse consequences, even if those threats are not verbalized and never materialize, so long as a reasonable person would construe a government's message as alluding to some form of punishment. So you understand here again that they can't put a pressure campaign on to tell them, we don't believe that you should allow this content to be to exist because we disagree with its viewpoint. It's basically a viewpoint discrimination case. Logan, what I hope and what I want to ask people now is, as we're starting to win these cases, and the number to talk to us is 1-800-684-3110, are you more willing now to re-engage social media platforms? Because they are still very important in getting out messages. And a lot of conservatives left, or they went to alternate places like Truth Social, which is great, but you don't get the same kind of reach as you do on a place like X, which has a lot of freedom. You don't get, certainly a place like Facebook, where you may have already had a large following of people that you actually know. So I think that's the question. I want to take calls at 1-800-684-3110. If we continue to win this in court, you know, we represent Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk in a very similar action because they all of their millions and millions of followers were blocked from getting their content for this very reason. So the ACLJ represents Turning Point USA in that fight. So the question, Logan, is will people rejoin social media? Yeah. Because we need conservative voices there, or it gets outnumbered by the left.
I see comments coming in actually saying, especially those are on Rumble, which you could say is sort of like an alternative to YouTube that is more free speech oriented, saying, yeah, maybe they would consider going back on or they'd try it again, because I think a lot of people miss that. They miss that interaction, as you said. And maybe there is hope that if you are there, if you're there in a voice, that you can be there still spreading a message, because you don't want to be stuck in an echo chamber, because that's how you end up losing, because all of a sudden no one is hearing your message. Now, that being said, I think people are apprehensive to go back to social media. They see the negative it's done to society at large as well. So there's always that concern.
Yeah.
But you know, I think there's a lot of people, conservatives, liberals, who actually do believe that you should be able to say, they may not like what you say, but they believe you should have the right to be able to say what you want to say. So I think that's where you hopefully have a bit of a, you don't have a bipartisan support, but you would hope you would have a bipartisan support. People who just say, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with them or us or whoever, but they should be able to actually say it and their voice be heard. We do have a lot of calls coming in. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Pat, who's calling in Texas on line one. Pat, you're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate you guys' effort and hard work. So two questions. Would this also go toward or be in effect for also CIA, FBI, anybody else who can do propaganda? Is that
the way I read it? Is because this was directly against the Biden administration in the case. I think it was an HHS. That yes, this would include any form, anything that falls basically under the office of the president. So that's all the cabinet, all the secretaries. They specifically named a preliminary injunction on the defendants that were named, which is Joe Biden. I think by just saying Joe Biden, that probably includes the entire government. But it also points out specific individuals who actually were caught engaging in this, the United States Surgeon General's Office, HHS Secretary Becerra, so the entire HHS department, and Anthony Fauci. And it said, you know, among others. So I think, again, what happens now is this goes into effect. So if you are one of those government agencies and you're thinking about making a phone call like this, you got to really think twice. Because if it's not like terror or crime related, which, by the way, it wouldn't bar that. If they knew like a huge risk to our country was coming, an emergency, they could go to those social media companies. Now, they shouldn't have to pressure them in that situation. So it's really a totally different matter. But the question now is, this will go into force. The Biden administration will appeal this and try to get the Supreme Court to issue a stay so that it doesn't go into force. I don't know what will happen on the stay provision yet. Those are sometimes difficult to predict. But what I would willing to be able to say is if this goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, more often than not, they side with freedom. And they side with robust freedom of speech. They called it lawful but awful. We call it lawful and awful speech should be protected in the United States of America. Because remember, much of our speech, Logan, is designated as awful by the left.
Yeah, exactly. It's all demonized. It's not one way or the other. It's not saying, oh, just when you said you're not talking about terrorist activity. We're not talking about threats to national security. You're talking about people who just have a different point of view.
That's right. So continue to give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Maybe we should actually just give people a little bit of breakdown of what's happening with the case involving Turning Point.
Sure.
Maybe they haven't heard about it yet. No, Charlie was on the show a couple weeks ago, but a lot of people are just getting back in their normal routines after summer. So maybe give them a kind of a brief rundown of what that case is and why it's important.
So Turning Point USA, I came to the ACLJ and said, you know, we feel like we need to sue the right parts of the federal government because of how much our content was taken down. Either it was censored or the inability to utilize all of your followers. So this is the case where you might have built up a gigantic Facebook base, which Turning Point USA has, Twitter, all those different social media accounts, and YouTube. But even though you had the people that decided they want to follow you, like we ask you to subscribe to the Rumble page or the YouTube or Facebook, it's so that it's easier to get our message to you directly, or at least it's supposed to be. But instead, what we saw is social media companies start picking and choosing which of your tweets went out and really got read, which of your posts on Facebook actually made it, did your YouTube video get, did you get deplatformed? Sometimes when we're talking about Charlie Kirk and Talking Point USA, we're representing together, but also separately because he's also got his entities. I mean, many times he's been banned for, you know, the temporary suspensions. They have brought so much business to these companies. And then their followers who decide, I want to know what Turning Point USA has to say, aren't getting the message when we share it. So that's that what we're fighting for, is for people, and in fact, you too, to make sure that if you've got 1,000 friends on Facebook, or you started a group and you've got 500,000, that those people actually receive the messages that you post, Logan.
Yeah, and I think that has been a struggle for us. We know that. Yes. There were times on social media, especially on Facebook, where our live show would have 10, 20,000 people watching, then it was 5,000, then it became 100, then became 1,000, and now, you know, sometimes it's a struggle, and we know it's not just from the content. We know some people left the platform, number one, and moved to something like a Rumble, because we saw thousands migrate, but we also know that your content just quite honestly isn't getting served like it was. We know there are buzzwords and things we can and can't put in, let's say, a title, or it won't get served.
Yes, because I think Charlie Kirk was on our broadcast, and he said this. I think it's so cool, by the way, folks, that conservative movement groups are uniting. And I think that's how we're strongest. So bringing the ACLJ in as an organization, legal organization, to defend Turning Point USA, uniting in this battle, you know, with strength in numbers, strength in the evidence that we can put forward of how bad the censorship is. Take a listen to Charlie Kirk. He was on our show when we announced our representation of him and Turning Point USA, both individually with Kirk and the organization as well, because this is what we're afraid of too, Byte 16.
But my fear, guys, and this is why I think that this lawsuit is so timely and important, what's to prevent them from doing it during the 2024 election?
There's a mass demoralization component to this, which I think you're getting at, which is people that say, why even speak if my stuff is going to be shadow banned, right?
And we were called conspiracy theorists for even introducing the idea of a shadow ban. The great work by James O'Keefe proved with undercover videos that Twitter was indeed shadow banning. But now, to kind of complete the circle, was it the federal government that was pressuring the companies to shadow ban in the first place? And that's like, whoa, now you're at a whole nother level, that these companies were not acting independently.
No, we realize that now, because you see the times. Mark Zuckerberg admitted it when he spoke to Joe Rogan and said the FBI came to them and said, don't share the Hunter Biden laptop. And that's a, listen, when the FBI comes to your company and tells you to do something, you have to think about what would the economic, what happens if I don't do what the FBI says?
And they were telling him because it was fake.
Yeah,
it was,
you know,
was not real, and therefore you shouldn't be able to spread it.
On top of that, too, is what he said about people just not engaging. And I think that is the most dangerous. We always want to look for the new platforms like Rumble, which we appreciate so much, which are so free and Truth Social. But you also want to be in the traditional huge platforms and reach those millions of people. That's what we're fighting for at the ACLJ. Support our work in defense of freedom, in defense of the First Amendment at ACLJ.org. Secular, we are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. Are you more likely now, after this court decision, telling the Biden administration, these officials, no more threatening social media companies and telling them what content to remove or to block or to censure? This is huge, folks. The court's finally stepping in and doing the right thing to protect your freedom of speech. I still think this case goes a step further. We're involved both as an amicus, and we've got our FOIA out. We're about to sue DOJ, I think as early as today, because they did not provide the information they were supposed to about the communications about censoring, specific going to social media companies and saying, hey, take down that Hunter Biden laptop. Hey, I don't like what they said about COVID. Take that down. And they did it not just to the biggest names. They would do it to people with just, you know, normal accounts as well. And a lot of people quit. I think that was their goal. Let's make conservatives not use a platform where it's very easy to reach millions of people. Now, I will say, Logan, YouTube and places like that have been opening up more recently. And we have seen some change.
Yeah, we've absolutely seen
obviously
growth.
With Twitter, we've seen change.
We've seen growth. A lot has changed heading into the election year, if we're being completely transparent. YouTube and Google and a lot of them have made statements specifically involving President Trump. And you know, there was a good year, 2 years there, where we couldn't play a soundbite. You couldn't play a soundbite from President Trump. Now he can come on the broadcast. You know, like that's the difference that has changed. And also, I think that YouTube, as well as our team just being really good at knowing how to get it in front of an audience, I think a lot of them know that there is a big audience there, and you can't just forget that they exist. So you're going to see a little bit more of a democratizing of these platforms. I still don't trust them. Stuff can obviously go wrong, but at least there is a little bit of hope there that we've seen growth. And that's where people are. I think that's been an important mantra we've kind of had here, which is we have to be where people are. We can't just be in an echo chamber. If you put yourself behind a paywall exclusively, if you put yourself in an echo chamber, change doesn't happen. You're just getting a bunch of people to agree with each other. And while that's fun and nice and can provide great entertainment, it's not going to affect any change.
Right. And we've also got an update for you, too. And we want to keep you updated through what we're doing. But before I turn to it, let me encourage you to sign the petition supporting a freedom of speech in this specific matter where President Biden is trying to illegally destroy the conservative movement. And that means going through and since taking you off the platforms so that you can't speak to the American people. We're filing, again, you know, one of our largest lawsuits, we pointed out, against President Biden and his administration, representing Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA, and with them, really, all conservatives. But we need you to stand with us. Doesn't cost a thing to sign the petition to protect our freedom at ACLJ.org. You'll see it right on the front of the homepage. That's at ACLJ.org. If you've got questions or comments about how this affects your social media accounts, maybe you have an organization and you've been unwilling, you've kind of said, maybe I don't want to be on this one anymore. How does it affect? What happens next? Again, because I know people are still worried about even engaging those platforms. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. But I do want to update you as well. Important cases involving life at the U.S. Supreme Court. Bring it in, Cece Howe. Cece, tell us about this one.
Yeah, so it's the mifepristone, the abortion drug. It's going up to the Supreme Court as we thought that it would. The Biden administration is appealing the Fifth Circuit decision that actually upheld a district court decision saying that the 2016 change that the FDA approved for the abortion pill, allowing the pill to be used up until 10 weeks of pregnancy instead of 7 weeks of pregnancy, and also the 2021 change where it removed the requirement of a doctor visit for prescription, and you could do it by mail. And so the Fifth Circuit had a great opinion and said, you know, the FDA did not comply with the regulations to make those two changes, and so those will be out. And in fact, the judge noted that it was undisputed that a significant percentage of women who take mifepristone experience adverse effects, and that thousands of women, and as many as hundreds of thousands, have experienced serious adverse effects as a result of taking the drug and required surgery or emergency care to treat those effects. So literally, there have been hundreds of thousands of women documented that have had problems with this drug, and yet the FDA keeps removing the restrictions. And so this case is going up to the Supreme Court, and we will file a brief there as well.
So the ACLJ is going to be involved. We're going to stand up for life. And what I'm getting nervous about too, Cece, is not only the precedent that got set under COVID. We're starting to see, I don't think it'll be every state and every and every county and city. I think it's going to be very based on red and blue. But with this a new kind of COVID on the rise they're talking about, and they're already putting out there masking in some places that's already occurred, pushing, you know, if you did you or did you not take the shot and how that affects you in your employment. The military is dealing with that right now. So a lot of people are nervous, especially in service industries, hotels, restaurants, salons, where people have to get close, that this is coming back again. And this is how all these laws started getting so messy. Even the election itself got messy because of these emergency positions that were put in that now they want to formalize as business as usual.
Yeah, and that is the danger. And that's what we saw, especially in the 2021 change, is they used those COVID lockdowns and shutdowns and the emergency position of COVID to actually change the fact that, you know, you don't have to go see a doctor for this pill anymore, that you can actually get it by mail. And again, that put hundreds of thousands of women's health at risk, but they didn't care. They used COVID kind of as a shield to, again, just expand the abortion distortion and their platform for abortion.
You know, folks, again, this is a very important battle. You know, we care about it so much at the ACLJ. And it's one, again, you know, I read this very interesting report about even the way it's being discussed to individuals. And of course, that's different than the court battle. You got to battle in court. But a lot of this on life is going to come down to the court of public opinion and laws and what your state is willing to do. Because you've got an open door to restrict abortion by the overturning of Roe versus Wade. What you now have to do is educate people. What we have seen is a lack of education and a rush to put in some strict laws or even let people vote on those laws, and they get very confused because the abortion industry is spending so much money to confuse people. So I think, again, like we were talking about with joining forces with Turning Point USA, this is a time where the entire life movement has to come together because they've demonized the term pro-life. We now know from studies that even to conservatives, people hear pro-life and they think you want to ban in vitro fertilization, IVF. They think you want to ban the idea of birth control. They think you want to ban any kind of contraceptives, whatever. And so the pro-abortion industry has done a good job of that. There's questions now about whether or not the terminology of pro-life, even to conservatives, is now like a scary term. I mean, so they're very crafty, Logan, on the other side of this issue. Well, they're not going to give up because they lost a case.
And you've seen them embrace, go away from pro-choice and actually, you know, embrace the word abortion more than you've probably seen before. Because before it was like that was the dirty word they weren't even, you know, that no one was saying. And that's even changed over the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so again, you know, when you're supporting the ACLJ, you're always supporting the fight for life. As Cece said, we're in this case. We're battling this one out. We're basically, if there's a life case, it involves speech, sidewalk counselors. You remember the case we're working on out of Maryland where, the counselor was beaten to a pulp. And again, making sure justice gets done there. So whether it's the activist, whether it is the actual laws put in place, we are fighting for life, and we always had. At the American Center for Law and Justice. So if you're interested in that too, you can follow along with all of these cases all up at aclj.org. We try to update you through the broadcast. We know most of you aren't able to get through the full 1 hour broadcast. You're getting pieces of it. So make sure you're checking out ACLJ always, because you might listen to this broadcast and think, okay, that's what the ACLJ is doing. Well, that's what we were able to get to you in that amount of time you were listening. But we really are doing so much work, more work than we can even get into this broadcast, even an entire week. because of so much going on. So go to ACLJ.org. Remember to sign that petition to defend freedom at ACLJ.org as we represent Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk. Sign that petition today. Doesn't cost a thing, and they're very important. I'll tell you why in the next half hour.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Coming up in this half hour of the broadcast, Rick Rennell, a senior advisor to the ACLJ, is going to be joining us on a number of issues, on the censorship issue online. So remember, Rick loves taking your calls as well. So if you want to talk to Rick Rennell, give him a give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. If you want his thoughts on those restrictions, how they were being put in place, really to affect elections. I mean, they were very timely. It wasn't like, sometimes it was like, well, we don't like this because it's about the president's son. But it was also because people are about to vote. So don't let that information about the president's son get out there. Even if it's true, we're going to go and tell you, don't do it. The court, now we have a court decision, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. It'll likely be appealed by the Biden administration and go to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I think we have a good chance there as well, a very good chance there, of freedom and speech winning out. Because what it does is say, the company can be, you know, do what they want. And that's a private company. And for the most part, they were being very free online. Whether the company agreed with the politics that you might have or not, they were allowing you to get your message out. They were encouraging, Logan, groups like ours to really invest, to do the advertising.
Absolutely.
Even if their politics weren't the same, because it was a, they knew that there was, again, it's kind of like Nike and Michael Jordan. You know, it's like people.
50%, yeah. Yeah. And that's what it is. 50% of the users on Facebook specifically at those times were, you know, it was everyone. It was the world, yeah. But it was specifically within our country, of course, yeah. We still, you know, run ads, and you still want to be a part of that because, again, you want to be part of the conversation. So you'll see that pop up on YouTube or Facebook or however it is. We just know in the last couple of years, things have gotten tougher and tougher. Now, with like you said, some are starting to come around. YouTube starting to come around. Google starting to come around, realizing that they have made some mistakes here and there.
Yep.
Look, I mean, if you're watching on X right now, if you're one of those people, we somehow, years ago, pre-Elon, got banned from running ads. You know, they decided that we were no longer ACLJ, we're no longer allowed to run ads. And technically, that ban still exists. So if you're listening out there, if you'd like to tag somebody, if you'd like to tag Elon and say, hey, let us run some ads, unless someone in my social team is watching this saying that's all changed, let me know, because that's the truth, is that sometimes that has happened. It's happened with Google too. What the problem you have is, what do they consider political? And a lot of times, everything is political.
Right.
When you have such a politicized world, everything is political.
Right. It's viewpoints that they disagree with. So that becomes, again, a political matter. Again, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. But this is why it is so political. I mean, we talked to Charlie Kirk. Listen to when he got his Twitter account, when he was banned from accessing it. Take a listen. The timing, very important, Byte 15.
I lost access to my Twitter account because I tweeted about the Hunter Biden laptop for a whole week during the presidential election because they said it was Russian disinformation. And you have to wonder, I mean, how many other voices were suppressed and how many... Yeah, and so I think this is the complaint here. You guys do such a great job. Is going to be, you know, really focused and precise. And I think this really needs to be a hallmark case where we put the government, you know, shine a light on how they have been actively involved in viewpoint discrimination.
You know, again, right during the election is when he loses access to his account. Now, I want to also talk to you before we go to Rick Rennell in the next segment of the broadcast. You got questions for Rick too? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be talking about this issue, but also some foreign policy issues, like Joe Biden saying in his trip to Vietnam, I don't want to contain China. That's what he said publicly. I don't want to contain China. So why are you in Vietnam? What are you doing there? Because Chinese can kind of see that you're using it to help contain China. So why are you so afraid to say that we're here to push back against the Chinese influence in this region because it's a negative influence on the world, but he's afraid to do it. We're going to talk to Rick about that, but also the importance of petitions. I can't announce it yet, but we have a new client at the ACLJ. Hopefully by the end of the week, if certainly by next week, we'll be able to announce. And the reason why they went right to us at the ACLJ is they saw our petition. They saw the signatures and said, I need to contact the ACLJ. I think they could represent us in this matter. So it wasn't even a petition that was going to the members of Congress. But just the fact that it was floating around in that person's orbit, they realized, you know what? The ACLJ is perfect for this case. And this, folks, is a huge case. We can announce it. So by signing the petition at ACLJ.org, it's not just for those members of Congress or for the administration or for the elected branch. It really affects freedom all over the country and reminds people we're willing to fight for them at the ACLJ. So go and do it. It doesn't cost a thing. Sign it, ACLJ.org. To Secular, we are taking your calls too. You know, one of these questions we want to ask you, really kind of point blank, is when did you stop trusting the government and start saying, you know what, I don't want to use these platforms. I just don't trust the government, what they're going to do and what they're threatening these platforms. And so I'm out. Well, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you on that because we think it's so important to engage in every place we can. Logan, we talk about it all the time at ACLJ. We want to be everywhere in every platform possible without paywalls when we can be and use all of them to reach people.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as our guest coming up here, our commentator tells us it's okay, we'll be there. And sometimes for security, maybe you can't be there.
Yeah,
but we're in as many as we possibly can. We will be taking some phone calls coming up right after Rick in the next segment. So now is the time to get in line. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call right now. And we do have Rick joining us.
Yeah, Rick, I wanted to go to you first before the censorship is some foreign policy, what's going on in the world right now. You got President Biden was in Vietnam on Sunday, and he made a public speech about strengthening ties with Hanoi. But at the same time, he denied that the reason he was there strengthening those ties. He said the exact quote was, "I don't want to contain China." I mean, I don't know if saying I want to contain China is like the best verbiage you could use oppositely, but I don't know why you would make that statement so definitively if you did not so scared of the Chinese.
Yeah, clearly President Biden is afraid of the Chinese. They have something on him. He doesn't want to stand up to them. We see it over and over again. He is afraid to somehow make China angry. And so he's sucking up. I think there's no other way to say it. And it is really troubling because when I look across the world, I think Russia is clearly a problem, but China is a crisis.
Yeah. I mean, and this idea that we're not going to stand up, we're not going to be honest in our when we're speaking publicly. Again, you can say it more eloquently if instead of just the opposite of that. But the fear from this administration to let that message be known, especially while we're trying to work with a country like Vietnam, and so the people there understand, you know, the purpose of this. Why are we here? Why are we making this? Furthering ties. And then the president kind of gets up and says something that gets everybody scratching their head. Well, then what's the point of this whole venture? It just doesn't make much sense. And we're still seeing. And Rick, you start wondering if this is going to be campaign two from the basement, or maybe just totally ignore questions. We saw. Again, this time it was a White House press secretary ending a news conference before Biden, while Biden was still talking. They literally took the president of the United States, off the stage.
I mean, look, these people who are surrounding Joe Biden think and probably are correct that they are running the country, that they are in control and he's just the puppet. So it doesn't really go off script for them, kind of pull the plug when he's rambling. I mean, we had a president of the United States who announced, "I'm tired, I'm going to bed." That's not the kind of messaging that you're supposed to give when you're traveling, trying to show strength, trying to remind people that America is the leader, that we're here to talk about human rights and capitalism. You don't announce, "I'm tired and I'm going to bed."
Yeah, I mean, here's how it happened. Do we have the tired of going to bed part? Because here's the part right before, bite 17.
We talked about stability. We talked about making sure that the third world, the southern hemisphere had access to change. It had access. It wasn't confrontational at all.
Thank you, everybody. This ends the press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
You get the music. And while the music was playing, I guess that's what he said. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm heading to bed. I mean, so again, Rick, the idea here is whether you like what he's saying or not. Now, we don't agree with a lot of those policies at all, but if you did, I mean, he's falling asleep while he's making them. I mean, it sounds like that's someone you shouldn't have even allowed onto the stage. It's like something's wrong. If you're just that tired or you're sick or under the weather, it's. But yet they push him out there to make some statements, and they'll literally just, it's like the old thing, like take it, just pull him off the stage. I mean, it's, when you hear it, it's like, whew, that does not sound like strength being portrayed by our commander in chief.
Look, that needs to be a commercial. I think the Trump campaign should just start running that as a commercial. Here you've got the president fumbling words, not quite being clear, going down a path that is, everybody is confused by. And so you almost can hear the staff saying, somebody pull him off the stage, somebody end this. Oh my gosh, this is getting bad. Jump in there. And then you have the voice of God basically saying, thank you, everybody, let's move on, and cut the mics. And this is a tactic that the White House staff has had to develop. They are now in the position where they have to take the hook and pull him off the stage because he's rambling and embarrassing us. This is the state of the United States right now.
It means something to the world. The world can read in that. It's not hard to read into that you're dealing with a president who doesn't seem like they're in control. Instead, it's all these bureaucrats and political appointees, and you might not even know some of them, those names, who are really pulling the levers of power and kind of putting the pieces of paper, as we've seen, right in front of him. Not just numbers to rattle off so you have specific facts and things like that, but the entire statement of what he's supposed to say, or even the name of a world leader he's sitting next to that he's known for a decade, as a reminder. But Rick, there's also a big victory for freedom of speech, and I know it's important to you. You're all over social media. President Trump, every campaign wants to utilize social media. We at the ACLJ want our stuff to be everywhere for people to see it, and we know less and less people, even people who subscribed, said, I want to get all of your information, stopped getting all of our information. And we know now it was the Biden administration, through various government agencies, going directly to these platforms and telling them what messages or what people to shut down, to de-throttle. We've heard of shadow banning. It used to be, oh, your conspiracy theory. Well, now we've got a federal court, appeals court, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, telling the Biden administration no more of this going to social media companies and trying to monitor or tell them what's misinformation or tell them what content they can and can't show. So Rick, I know it'll go to the Supreme Court, and I actually feel very confident there. I usually wouldn't say it that openly because usually the Supreme Court falls down on the line of robust freedom of speech. And I think, again, it's the pushback we needed, because so many conservatives, Rick, unfortunately, either they pulled off these platforms and stopped being able to reach people that way.
And we're certainly not getting the pushback from the media. But the reason why these big tech companies immediately caved, immediately did what the Biden administration was asking, is because they are afraid of the Biden administration's weaponization. You see what Joe Biden and his administration is doing to Donald Trump and all of his supporters by bleeding them with lawfare and going after them and canceling them. So big tech, when they get a phone call from the Joe Biden administration, they immediately bow and they immediately do exactly what the Biden team says, because they're afraid of the consequences. Think about that. The government consequences of not following the rules. Look at the reaction, Jordan, that the media had when Elon Musk said, I'm not gonna turn on my technology to help a country in a war. They immediately attacked him. I saw some journalists saying that he should be tried, Elon Musk should be tried for Logan Act violations. This is so outrageous what's happening in the media. They do not see how companies and others are afraid of the Biden administration because of Biden's weaponization. Thank God for people like Elon Musk, who says, I'm standing up to it. I don't care what you call me or say about me.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There's also been that change, too. I mean, he was willing to put his money where his mouth is and buy the entire platform to try and reform it to a place where it could be full of robust freedom of speech, including a lot of speech that Elon Musk doesn't agree with and that we don't agree with, but just let people be able to talk. Rick, as always, we appreciate your insight both on foreign policy and what's happening right here at home. Folks, let me encourage you to sign this petition. I just told you, major announcement coming either at the end of the week or early next week about a new client and a new case we're getting directly involved in at the ACLJ. And it all started because someone who was in the who could contact us, that client actually, it came across their desk. They saw the petition. So when they saw that petition, and I can't name which one yet because it would kind of give away which case, and we dot our I's and cross our T's before we make announcements like that at the ACLJ. But I will say, so it matters to the government that we share it to, the officials we matter to, but it also, because it got on someone's desk, they said, I love the ACLJ. I'm going to reach out to them. I think they could represent us in this case. I'd love to see their attorneys and their media team behind us in this battle. And Logan, that's just another reason why people should go online right now and sign that petition at ACLJ.org to stand with us and stand with Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA to fight for freedom of speech.
Sure. Do that, ACLJ.org. We're also going to be taking as many calls as we can in the next segment. We got a couple lines open, so this is the perfect time to call 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, on all the topics that we've discussed today on the broadcast. I want to get right to them because Tim's been holding on the line in Pennsylvania on line one. Hey, Tim, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, we're Christian relentless warriors. And, as we the people, I'm one in a million. I was at Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, and we went there for the truth. And the truth, frankly, still needs to be revealed. We call to pray and fast. The gates of hell won't stand against us. We're going after this. The thing that I wanted to mention about all this persecution, the way that they're going after Donald Trump is the way that they would go after American people. We're not afraid of that.
No, I mean, I think, again, that's why we fight back, is that you cannot just cower away. Many people do. The ACLJ would have a lot more clients if people were willing to fight back. Now, that's why it takes those unique ACLJ clients who are brave enough, Logan, to stand forward and make sure when they stand forward, they then, when we win, protect everyone's rights who weren't willing to be the client, who weren't willing to put their name out there as someone taking on a government agency or taking on a local school district or taking any kind of government entity and saying you're wrong. Most people cower. Or they make other decisions. Yep. They just don't feel like it's right for them to do. But that's why it's so important to support the people who do go to ACLJ and take a stand, because they're protecting their rights.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot different than when they would maybe do it in the 80s or the 90s, even the 2000s, where it wasn't like your entire life was then lived on the internet for the rest of your life. Now, when you make these kind of statements, you are making a defined statement that could affect your job, could affect your life, could affect your career. Likely that will happen, your family. And thankfully, there are people who are still do that. But obviously, there's a lot of you who will support it and support what they're doing, even if you can't be that person or you're not that person. So go to ACLJ.org to support now. Let's go over to Joe, who's calling in New York on line two. Joe, welcome. Watch on YouTube.
Hey, Joe.
Thank you for taking my question, guys.
Sure.
No problem. I had a question for Rick, but if he's unavailable and you guys want to answer, that's okay, too.
Sure.
Does Rick think the Biden administration kowtows to China to keep the evidence of Hunter's wrongdoings a secret or in the dark?
I think Rick said, as far as Rick would say, is it appears that the Chinese have something on Biden where he is very careful not to ever use language that would upset the Chinese government. So even when he's obviously in Vietnam to build a relationship there as kind of a hedge to China in the region, he says it has nothing to do with containing China. Literally, he says that on the record, in public. It goes against the whole, a lot of, if you actually see what the U.S. is doing around the world, it doesn't make sense what he says there. So it's more personal, I think, is where you're right. I don't know if it's specific to Hunter or even more specific to Joe Biden himself and his whole that whole kind of Biden family business interest that's been going on around the world for decades since he's been in elected office, which has been decades. Let's go back to the phones, Logan.
Yep, let's go to Jordan, who's calling in Missouri on YouTube. Jordan, you're on the air.
Hello, y'all. I've seen if you are able to get any social media company employees to come forward and possibly be whistleblowers.
So in the corporate setting, I think, again, there are some protections if you are reporting illegal criminal activity. If you just don't like the policy, and I want to make sure it's clear here. If you own the platform, where it stands right now in the law is you still get to decide if you want to push more certain content. YouTube can decide they want to push out more entertainment than they do politics. Like that's the direction they want to go. What this court case is saying is that YouTube can't go to some people's politics and say, don't share those, only share the other person's. That's what they're saying, Logan. You cannot do it through viewpoint discrimination.
Like an equal time kind of vibe.
Right. So you don't like the company. The company could decide, we're not doing politics anymore. That's one thing. But when the government is putting the pressure on them, and we really didn't see this kind of censorship until these companies started admitting, Logan, that they were being pressured.
It's really been the last 4 years. Yeah. And that's really what you've seen here. And we can see
why. It was COVID in the election.
Yep. It really changed everything. Let's go to Lee in North Carolina on line four. Hey, last chance. If you want to call in, you can give a shot. 1-800-684-3110. Lee, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for your service. Question and a comment. Question is, when we sign our petitions that you send us, are they scrutinized by the government? Does the government have access to those?
Depends on who we're petitioning, I guess would be the answer.
So if we sign it, one, I mean, yeah, of course we provide the petitions. Usually we're not going to provide your like full name and address or anything, but we want to break it down by state and county. So if we're talking about going to Congress, that's why it's important. And it's our First Amendment right to petition the government for redress of grievance. We're not going to give them your cell phone number. We're not giving them your email address. But what we do want to know is that if you know it's going to a House member in North Carolina, that you and if you're in that district, we want to make sure they know. This many people in that district knows. When it's the federal government as well, that's important. It lays the precedent down for the battle that's coming. And I will just tell you, through these petitions, it is, which are very effective on their own, especially when they go to elected officials who are up for re-election either every 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years. And it's effective. And also it's a tool our allies are able to utilize as well. It also reminds people when they need legal assistance, because you see these petitions floating around, to say, you know, hey, the ACLJ is engaged in an issue that we're battling here. And maybe if we contact them, they will be the attorneys for us. That would be great. Well, it just happened 2 days ago in a huge matter. Can't announce it yet. Hopefully by the end of this week or early next week, we'll be able to announce it. And it really is just an incredible story of the power of the petition, not even for its initial purpose, which is usually to go to a government entity or two members of Congress, or the House, the Senate, or to a local government if we're going that way. But again, they are just very powerful organizing tools, Logan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to wrap up. You know, we got 2 minutes left to just say, obviously, we know we talked about in the first segment for those just tuning in, make sure that people obviously know we're live as well, is didn't want to forget or not talk about this is the anniversary of September 11th. So I just want to make sure that that was acknowledged. And if you didn't see, we put together a video. We put some sound bites together earlier on in the broadcast. You know, the world is moving. Things are happening. We got to make sure we're sharing current news as well. But we didn't want to lose sight of that.
Yeah, I think something that makes America great is that we don't forget these tragedies, but the events themselves, focusing it on all the bad parts instead of the good that's come moving forward is just kind of American. And so there's always going to be, and there should be, remembrance ceremonies for those people who lost their lives that day. How because it changed America. It was one of those acts that rarely happens that fundamentally changes the country.
Let's go to it. Let's end. This is obviously George W. Bush, you know, at Ground Zero on 9/11 to end the broadcast. So here you go. Here you go. Take from here.
America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I
So again, a perfect remembrance of September 11th and the battle that continues against extremism around the world and those brave men and women who fight those battles. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Secular.